Hi, everybody. How are you today? We're excited to try something new on the site and cover some short films, and we have an important one to talk about. Television comes to us from Murad Abu Aisha, who did a fantastic job with this 26-minute narrative, and we're thrilled to be speaking with him about this in advance of the Academy Awards this year. So, Murad, thank you for joining us. How's things in your world?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. I'm good. I'm like mixed emotions of nervousness and like, I don't know, mixed emotions, happiness, nervousness, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, great. If you don't mind just jumping right into it, I thoroughly enjoyed television. And, you know, I imagine that every time you put yourself out there artistically, it's difficult. But considering the subject matter, was this dangerous to make?
No, not really. Not in particular. I mean, we shot the film in Jordan, which is a safe country. A lot of people thought we actually went to a war area and shot it, but our production designer did an outstanding job, actually. But yeah, it was completely safe to shoot.
Okay, fantastic. I just wanted to get that out of the way. What is staggering and captivating about the film are some special moments between Tala and her father. And I think the one that really spoke out to me was where she's getting, he's bathing her in the living room, and that's juxtaposed with the second story bathroom where the TV is secretly hidden. And there's a fantastic juxtaposition to where at one point this was a fully functioning bathroom. You see the tub, and now they're sort of relegated to the first floor. So that speaks volumes, even without really telling how things are happening. So the imagery is spectacular. I'll maybe just give this an opportunity for you to describe your process, you know, visual narrative.
I mean, it was quite complicated for us because in the beginning, looking for a location was quite complicated because we want, like, I mean, you saw the film, it's quite a unique location to shoot at. We found this refugee camp, Palestinian refugee camp, right outside the Jordanian capital, Amman. But it was not as run down as we wanted to be. And even the apartments were like quite beautiful. And so we visited like hundreds of apartments actually to find the one, and we couldn't. And at the end of the day, with our production designer, Julian Knapp, we actually had to almost reconstruct the entire interior of the apartment. So the apartment we shot at, it's actually way bigger, and it was very luxurious. And we had to like completely deconstruct it, make it more claustrophobic, and work on these parallels, the one you mentioned, like having this destroyed bathtub in parallel to how they're functioning as people right now, and how they're like how they're showering, for example. These are like tiny details that I think that you don't really see about people and how they function in a war situation. And that was part of what I wanted to make in this film, completely from a perspective of a little girl that describes how it is to live in such a situation.
And I guess, what is your exposure to something like that? You know, sometimes people speak from the heart, or they write what they know. What's your relationship to something like this?
I mean, how I got inspired the first place to write this film is I actually just read a news article about the ban of televisions in Syria and Iraq. And that thought in itself was a staggering, like extremely crazy for me, because I started thinking about how me as a person, Murad, like nowadays, I'm completely shaped by television and was my only window to the world. And when I read that article and I saw there was like this small picture of ISIS militant like smashing a mountain of TVs in the middle of the street, I just started thinking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of children living in these conflict zones now with no access, like zero access to internet and no access to television. I just kept thinking, what would be their vision of the outside world? Now you're controlling like the minds of an entire generation. And at the same time, I worked for a period on the Syrian-Jordanian borders. And I remember once I saw a little girl that was crossing. She was an orphan. She was crossing in the middle of the desert, just following a group of people. And her face just stuck with me, like her expressions. And I just kept wondering what could be this little girl's story. So sort of these two notions coming together inspired the writing of this film, actually.
Whenever someone describes entertainment, they try to put it in a box and they say, this is a short film, this is a narrative feature. And this kind of walks that line between it could be longer, but it's maybe just long enough. And compared to some shorts that are 3 or 4 minutes, can you give us your mindset on how you came up with the runtime?
When I wrote the script and I was discussing it with my editor, Kieran Grimm, the script was around 20 pages. And I was like, yeah, so it's supposed to be like minute to page. And he was like, no, well, I worked with you before. Like the ratio is different with the way I write. I didn't limit myself with timing, to be honest. I thought this is a story that, it looks good on paper and whatever time it will need to get that feeling that I wanted the audience to feel. It will take. And I mean, the first edit was 45 minutes of the film, and the production was really open-minded to whatever length I decide to put the film at. And during the edit, we were just looking for that sweet spot that, gets you to the emotional connection with the character, that you can feel with her and really understand her, but at the same time, do not like drag the story too long, because for me, it is a short story. It was built to be a short story, the construction of the script was built to be a short film. And even after we finished the edit, we were waiting for months for a premiere festival. And a lot of festivals liked the film, but they asked us to edit it. And they were like, it's too long. It doesn't fit in the short. It must be minus 20, blah, blah, blah. And we just stuck to our gut, we didn't imagine that this film could be shorter. We felt that this should be the length for it.
Well, the length actually allows, even though it's a quiet film, it allows moments to really speak volumes. And one of the ones that I particularly liked was when Tala starts to climb the door, the cased opening of the door. It's like what a child would do. And to that respect, when you work with children, sometimes you don't tell them what the subject matter is, sometimes you do. So what was your mindset and what opportunities did she get to be a kid and capture these little moments?
I mean, this was very critical for me. When we casted Aisha, the girl who played Tala, she was 7 years old, and she has Syrian origins. She was born in Syria and then moved to Jordan. When you meet her, she seems this happy child. But the more time I spent with her, the more I realized she is traumatized. And then we had to sit with psychiatrists and therapists and people who are specialized in child acting to know how to deal exactly with her and how not to make the process of this film maybe helpful for her than damaging. So we were really quite mindful of that point. At the end of the day, she was seven. She didn't have really an understanding of what is a movie, how a movie works. I had to do these long sessions with her, drawing several pages, several pictures, and together they make a story. And I was really working with her on this basic level of storytelling and more or less earning trust. And at the end, we started shooting and she didn't really have a very good idea of what the film is. I thought we couldn't really rehearse the script with her. She's a non-actor. It's her first time in front of a camera, and we just did exercises to boost her confidence. And the only moment she started realizing that, I think the first time she realized the film is when she watched it, which we were as well mindful of showing it to her.
I could see that because of the events in her life, seeing that all put together, it can seem more real, even though she knows she fabricated it with you on a set.
I mean, on set as well, especially, we try to, I tried to keep it authentic with her as a child. And I was just creating the situations that I wanted her to be in. You know, like if I wanted her to draw something or write something, I would just put a book on the table and just wait for her to grab it and we would film that. So I wasn't really like telling her like, oh, we're now going to do that. So I just created these boredom moments for her to really be a child and be herself. And we designed a camera concept that is quite flexible around what she's offering to us.
You know, I have a six-year-old daughter, so there's some relation that I saw to my daughter when I'm watching television. And I don't know if you recall this, but there's in E.T., there's a making of E.T. where you're seeing a shot of Drew Barrymore acting, and you're seeing Steven off camera tell her what to do. And even to the point where they use a defibrillator on E.T. and he goes, bang, and she just reacts to the bang. And then when they cut that with the actual defibrillator, it looks like it's all put together. Anyway, so that's the magic of movies. But I can see how children have to sort of be walked through the process to get what you need.
Yeah, definitely. It was quite stressful. And it was my first experience as a director to direct a child, actually. So I had to like really spend months like realizing how a child's mind worked, because I didn't have that insight. And it's quite fascinating how fragile and how much you can like bend them and, you know, take them and because they're not really aware of their surroundings. So it's, you just have to look for the clues.
Well, when you wake up and you have an idea, clearly being in the entertainment industry or creative industry, things can change and by virtue of the resources or someone's ideas. But I guess, who do you lean on the most? You mentioned your editor earlier, you mentioned your cinematographer. Who helps you the most craft your vision and get you through sort of tough times?
I would like to say that I really try to work with every head of department that I completely trust. I think part of my vision is to create a common vision for all of us. And I feel my job is to steer that vision into a one direction. And really, I really rely on my editor, definitely. I mean, the moment we finish shooting, I throw the script away because, you know, like, the material is now the script. Now we have to rewrite the film. So with him, it starts like a new process. And actually with television, the editor did not read the script at all. He was doing the assembly. He was just getting the material from set and he was doing an assembly without have ever seen the script.
Oh, really?
So he was assembling based on his gut. And it was quite interesting to see what he was putting together and which scenes he was putting together. So, I like to experiment and go back and forth with what you can do with them.
Well, how far off was his assembly from what you wanted? And did it help change your mind on some things?
It changed my mind on quite a few things. I mean, it was not far off in the order of the scenes because he gets the numbers of the scenes, you know, like it's written. But inside this construction of each scene and in the intentions of each scenes sort of changed. When I saw that assembly, I was like, wow, okay. He did a connection to something I didn't when I was writing the film or when I was directing it. So it's quite interesting. And I mean, you sort of put together different thoughts and ideas. And in my opinion, really the script after that point really doesn't matter because it the script is the pathway to the shooting and the material you shoot is the pathway to the final film. I really rely on him and rely on a lot of feedback from people after that point.
Okay. Well, more to that point, and going back to E.T., they shot E.T. chronologically or in sequence, so it made sense to the children. How was your approach to this?
I mean, since she didn't really know the story, it didn't matter if we would shoot it chronologically or not. I mean, and plus we are a short film, it's a student short film, which we had to adhere to certain realities. So, I mean, most of the film is shot inside this apartment. So it was more or less easy to, within the apartment, to try and the most possible to shoot in a chronological way for the apartment scenes. But this was not a priority for us because I knew from the beginning that she does not have an entire grasp on the entire storyline. So I just tried to put her in the right state of mind scene by scene, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I ask because the end is quite impacting, and I could just imagine what she's trying to understand when her father's telling her to run, but then, you know, like, how does that fall? Like, what how's her grasp of comprehension? So that's just, I was curious.
I mean, that was one of the, even like, I had an interview the other day with her, and they asked her, like, what was the most difficult scene for you to shoot? And she mentioned that scene, because for her, it was quite difficult to get these emotions and, you know, pour them into the scene. And what happened is we, like particularly in that scene, I relied on repeating a lot. So we took so many takes to the point that I frustrated her. And after this frustration, she was tired. And after this tiredness came a bit of like anxiety and anger. And we used that to pour into the scene. So it was stressful for the entire crew and for her as well, because she's a child. I mean, but in the beginning, the first two takes, I realized we're not going to be able to reach the level that I want to with the traditional methods. And I really need to push the limits on this takes in specific. So
well, I can, in some small aspect, I can relate, because when my daughter gets tired, she turns into a different animal, but that means because she's so close to breaking or passing out. So it's like you get a different person, and then why are you being like this?
You know, like we really had to really understand her routine and understand her personality and what's her tics. You know, the months before, I really spent studying her as a person and what makes her tick and whatnot. And actually on set, we had like this entire food plan for her, because I knew which foods made her hyper, which foods made her calmer. And like, there was like a no chocolate policy, you know, like chocolate is not allowed on set for her. Like really, we tried our best to understand her as a person and use these small pieces of information to like guide her into what we wanted to achieve.
You know, I've had quite a few discussions with directors, and I think what you're getting at is what I hear a lot, is that you need to really react and deal with your actors. Everybody has a different way of being dealt with. So one of the most difficult parts of being a director is being, sensitive, forthcoming, terse, all these different things that help get the most out of everybody else. So is that pretty accurate?
It is 100%. I mean, especially with children. I mean, with adults, you know, like you can still have a conversation or like, you know, back and forth. But with children, you really have to like go there. First of all, for me, it's like earning trust, especially with like an underage actor, because they don't see the world in the same way I used to see the world. You know, like I had time to grow up as a person and understand how the world functioned. But for them, it's like more zeros and ones, you know. So definitely for a director, you need to have like this entire openness and this really massive way in flexibility in changing your emotions and being able to react to what the actors are giving to you. I mean, there were night scenes we shot that were during the day of the film, you know, like when she was going to sleep and all these scenes. And we like dimmed the set, we closed the windows, blah, 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 and we made it night. And she was immediately sleepy because that's who she is, you know, like when you put her in a warm bed and everything's fine, she's sleepy. And when we finished the scene, I was like, okay, let's go, we need to continue. And she was like, no, I want to go home, it's late, we've been shooting for so long. I was like, we started 2 hours ago, it's still day. And she didn't believe me until I took her carried her out of the bed and walked her outside the building. And then she saw the sun, it was noon, and she was like, oh, okay. So, you know, you just like at some point, and you know, like at some point she was getting like maybe too tired or sleepy. So I would have to stop shooting, go downstairs to a car, turn on the music and do like dancing exercise with half of the crew. You know, just she's a child. You need to like really be prepared for everything.
As a director, it seems like anybody who wants to tell a story is always pulling from something. You know, like I saw this Tarantino movie when I was a kid, or I heard the song on the radio. What are some of your favorite scenes from movies that, you know, maybe you just, you're keeping in your back pocket that you can't wait to try, or maybe just influence?
It's a bit weird, but I pull more, I think for people who know me, I pull more out of my personal life and my, like, especially in this film, I pulled so much from my own childhood, you know, like this climbing on the door situation. I didn't see it in front before, but I did it so much when I was a child. And this entire attachment to ATV, like I was super attached to ATV. Actually, like taking ATV and hiding it and watching something, I did once because it was school night and my parents wouldn't let me like stay up and watch a film. It was Billy Elliot. And I really wanted to watch this film. And my parents had this small TV that was like in the shack. And I just like took it, put it in another room, put it on and just like sat under a blanket and watched Billy Elliot. So, you know, I just pull a lot of, I think, my personal experiences so far in the films that I made. I mean, of course, there are like some stuff you watch sometimes in films or some techniques or some emotions that you feel like would be nice to do. But I always ask myself, you know, like Tala, I had like some things and thoughts I wanted to do. And at the end of the day, when you sit, you have to ask yourself, does this work for the film? And we had to scrap so many of the inspirational ideas that we had from movies because it just doesn't fit to the script that we want.
Well, I like the idea that it's more of, basically it's Murad vision. So you put yourself, like imagine yourself as an 8-year-old. No, that's great. And I think that makes it more unique because it is personal. It's not just, hey, I got this joke from a movie and just want to shoehorn it in or something. Yeah. No, great. What gives you the most joy in the process? Is it writing? Is it seeing it put together? Is it everything?
I do enjoy the creation phase as well a lot, but it differs because, I mean, when you're in the script, you're creating the script. When you're shooting, you're creating the material. And when you're, you know, like when you're in post-production, you're recreating the material. So, I mean, all these three phases have something special for me, but I think the most interesting for me, I would say, is the editing process, because in it, I really see how all the thoughts and ideas that I had before change and bend in ways that I didn't think are possible. And to play on the perception of the power of cinema and the power of movies, to the point like when you're switching two shots, the entire perception of the scene or the movie is changing. I'm working now on another short film, and one of the comments on it was, it's a road trip. It's like a road trip, two girls walking in the desert. And one of the comments was, the beginning of the film feels like a lot of walking. And we just literally grabbed one shot of walking. There was an extreme wide shot of them and moved it to the end of the film. And now the beginning of the film feels like shorter and the more walking is in the end of the film. So it's like, you know, really these small details, they fascinate me how our brain really reacts to minimum changes in film.
Well, let's ask you one more question about your brain. So if you had never read that article, do you think you might have touched the subject matter? Do you think you might have just gone up to something else? Maybe if you could play a fictional what if.
If I didn't read that article, I mean, there's a difference between I didn't read that article and ISIS didn't do what they did, actually, because I think, I mean, in general, I'm very interested in politics and I really follow up on everything that is happening, especially in the Middle East. I think I would have ended up with a different, completely different topic, but related somehow to that angle. Because I mean, childhood for me is something that I wanted to talk about in general. And I feel is quite neglected in all these films about like conflict areas and wars and like all of that. And in this film, I mean, if you watch it, you realize that the film is not about war. It's actually about this little girl that is living in this situation. So I think I think the film would have been made, but probably would have had a different motivation than the TV.
No, I think it's a very responsible answer. I like that. Murad, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing some time and some stories. This was hopefully shortlisted for the Academy Awards. Can you tell us how that process is going and what the next step is for television?
I mean, we won the Student Academy Award, which was the international one, gold medal. So that qualified us to be longlisted for the Oscars. Now we're shortlisted. The voting started, I think, today for the nominations. Hopefully we're either nominated or not. I don't know what to tell you. Like, on the 8th, we'll know how all this will unfold. But we're quite happy, like, because we didn't think a student project, like my third year project from this university in Germany, would make it so far. And my joy is the film really made it to so many people around the world that you couldn't ask for more. You know, like, it's absolutely incredible how many people watched it and how many people reached out and say, people who lived in war zones, like in Syria and Iraq, reaching out to me and saying, this is incredible. You know, like, the depiction of childhood is like accurate. And it really helped them to watch it. A lot of people cried watching it. I have a friend that watched it from Iran, and she was really touched by it because she went through a similar circumstances when the Iranian revolution happened. So, you know, it doesn't only touch on what happened directly in Iraq and Syria, because this is a thing that is repeating itself in the world. I mean, now I can look at Afghanistan and what's happening there. It's really this cycle that keeps repeating itself, like destroying children's dreams and women, and especially little girls. You know, they're so under the spot and so censored in certain societies and communities. I feel very privileged to be in this position to make a story that could reach so far and wide.
That's phenomenal. And yes, like nominated or not, people say that things are important, but this is important. So Murad, thank you for your time, and hope to chat with you about your next works.
Thank you so much.